Good evening, America, and good afternoon, Australia, and welcome to everyone listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. Welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business, and this show is Tackling Trauma with Tracy and Tony. And just a quick reminder that not only can you listen to us live on our live streaming platforms, but you can also catch up on any shows that you've missed by jumping on to radiotony.com, where you'll find the links to all the old shows and the information about our co-hosts. And this week, joining me is the gorgeous Tracy Horton, and we have been doing a series on tackling trauma. And before I talk to Tracy, I just want to remind you that we have a downloadable trauma workbook, and it's under the resources section of Radio Tony. And it's also can be found under the co-host section of Radio Tony, where you will find all the links and information to connect with Tracy as well. We love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to be connected to you. So if you want to talk or chat to us, please use those links to connect with us in person. Now, we're talking about trauma, and just a reminder that we are not psychologists. We have many decades of joint personal experience. Tracy has many decades of personal coaching and helping people with their trauma. And some of the things that we discuss on this show might trigger you. So we encourage you to reach out and get help if this happens. Now, Tracy, as I said, has had decades of experience helping people, and not only has she rebuilt her life from that of an alcoholic, abused, poverty-stricken child to a passionate, amazing woman that she is today, but she helps people through books, seminars, retreats, and her personal coaching. And today, I just want to let you know that we are thinking of you, America. There is still uncertainty around your electoral process. And just before I jumped on, there still wasn't an absolute clear direction of who your president will be. And we'll be touching on some of those issues and subjects today. But without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to my amazing co-host, Tracy Horton. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Tony. Hello, America. Hello, Australia. How are we all?
I hope that people are okay. I realize that there is a lot of angsty energy around the planet at the moment. I've had so many conversations this week, and there are the amazing, beautiful, empowered conversations about shifts in energy and feminine strength and feminine essence. And conversely, I've had a number of really misogynistic, patronizing, masculine conversations as well. And today we're going to be talking about everyday trauma. And for me, when I have a conversation like that's very much a trigger for me. And I have to actually sit with that and recognize that that is not mine to take on. And yes, I get very triggered by arrogant male energy. It's the one thing that I can feel my hackles rising. I can feel my angst. I can feel tension in my body. And when we're talking about trauma, that's one of the things that you will often find that you're left with. And for the most part, when you're healed, those triggers cease to have power over you, and every now and again they'll just come up and go, bing, we're still here, we're still reminding you that there was angst around this situation. And that's kind of been a bit about my week. And I know that Tracy has had a similar tough week. And so we're just going to remind you that trauma is an emotional response to a terrible event, an accident, an assault, a natural disaster, but trauma can actually be in everyday life. The death of a friend, the passing of a loved one, the death of an animal. All these can cause trauma in our life. And so, Tracy, we're going to talk about, further expand on the topic around the impact that trauma leaves on our life. And today we particularly wanted to talk about what constitutes everyday traumas. And in some research that I did in the lead up to the show, different professionals talked about this as daily micro traumas. So what are your thoughts on these subjects, Tracy?
You know, it's interesting, Tony, that, you know, you talk about, you have that conversation and you're left with that feeling, because actually that conversation intended for you to have that feeling. And, you know, a lot of stuff that's going on in the world, like you said, you know, we have these beautifully crafted conversations where people are really empowered and really focused. Yeah. And then we have these other conversations. And so, like, even right now in America, there is a lot of trauma and unrest, and it's intentional from the people that are directing it, right at the very top, fighting for the top job. And so I think micro traumas are when intentional things happen to us. The thing is that when you've had a lot of trauma, especially when you've begun the healing process, you get the trigger really quick because you know it.
Yeah.
It just locates and lands really fast with you, and you think to yourself, I know where this is, I know what this is, I know. And so I think while it seems like we're triggered really easily, which we are, but it's actually that we're actually really aware of it too, which I think is important. It's sad when people aren't aware of it, because it just heaps on. And I think when people aren't aware of it, like we spoke last week around PTSD, that's when something so simple as, you know, something going on externally they can't control can cause a tremendous personal meltdown or, you know, issue for them.
Yeah, I actually think that from my perspective, watching the presidential candidates, from my perspective, it actually looks like the result of unhealed trauma playing out on a world stage. I kind of, there's a bit of empathy for the sitting president in terms of having read lots and lots about his upbringing and his family. And from my perspective, I can actually, it looks like that's playing out. He's being triggered in a way, and it's on the world stage, and I can see it, but not a lot of people see that. What do you think, Trace?
I think, you know, Tony, you and I have had conversations about going into America Live next year and, you know, taking the radio tour on with feet, you know, with physical feet, because I think America is truly a world leader. I think it really is the world leader.
And Absolutely.
I'm watching with great interest because I'm very connected to America in my heart. I think it's a beautiful country full of incredible people. But this year... They have really come to terms with some of their more deeper issues, such as race and stuff like that. And I think right now, neither of those men are behaving like they even deserve the country, if you want my truth.
I agree. They're being
selfish. I think there's hidden agendas. I think there's lies. And I feel for the people because And, you know, you and I, we've just been through that in this country. Yeah. And so, you know, every country's the same. And you're more almost at the beck and call of it. And it's like, you know, you want to collectively call out, would you just please behave like leaders? Would you please just
show
dignity and some kindness, you know? And nobody's playing fair in the playground, really. And it's difficult for people when they're triggered by unrest. Because normally when someone is holding trauma, because they're yet to deal with it, any sort of unrest or uncertainty is very difficult for them because they need that security blanket. They need everything to be normal because they can't get to normal. And my heart breaks.
I have to agree with you, Tracy. I feel like I'm holding on to a country's collective unrest and trauma. Whenever I see what's playing out in America, and I genuinely, my heart feels genuinely sad for them as a country. And I'm really hoping that through the course of the election and out the other side, that they may actually be able to start working on some of the issues that are very transparent across this wonderful country. And so from my perspective, looking and talking to the American people, what a hell of a year they've had. There's been the virus and the implications of the virus, not just the deaths and the health management of the pandemic, but there's been job losses. And with those job losses come an element of economic instability and the resulting impacts on mental health and the increases in suicide and domestic violence that have come about because of the year that we've had. Those leave stains and trauma on the country as a whole, don't they?
Oh, they definitely do. And I think we underestimate community trauma or collective trauma, you know, when we all go through something. And here in Australia, we see that every January with our fires because, you know, they just some of them take out so much of our wildlife that, you know, like we rebuild from those for years, as you and I both know. And you live rurally, so it's a very real thing for you. So I think, you know, collective trauma is really difficult for people because nobody guides it. Even at the end of today, tomorrow, or whenever, when either one of these candidates takes up the White House presidency, there will be no repair. There'll be no healing. There'll be no giving back to the people because that's not how they do it. It's not how anybody does it. And I must say, I take heart in America's tenacity. I love Americans. They're very tenacious.
Yes.
Here in Australia, we have a little bit of tall poppy syndrome. You know, you stand up and have a go and people kind of guard you. But in America, they just fully promote you. You want to stand up and have a go? They are there for you,
man. They applaud you.
And I love that about their culture. I think the rest of the world can certainly take that on board. But worldwide, we're struggling financially. And there's people that aren't. I'm very fortunate. My business has been very much COVID-proof, and I haven't really felt that this year. But I work with a lot of people that have. I'm helping smaller clients of mine with small businesses. I'm helping them look at whether they close or whether they pivot or whether, you know, they retire. Like, it's huge right now.
Yes. Yeah. And it being locked down in various countries across the world has highlighted some of the issues that we've not been dealing with. One of those being our relationship to healing trauma, and the other being our relationship to our own mental health. To be strong and resilient, you have to have healed from the trauma in the first place. And if you haven't, then that resilience to changes in life, lifestyle, whatever, it is, it shows that we need to be doing more in this space. We need to be helping people heal their trauma. We need to be helping people be more resilient in the way that they approach everyday life, so that when these big things come along, they're better able to just stop, refocus, change the way that they think, and then just get on with life. We see a lot of people battling with, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, or my rights are being impinged, rather than standing back and going, okay, so this is what my normal at the moment looks like. This is what I need to do to get through this time, and believing that they will get through and that they, that life will be okay again. I'm not sure that we've managed to do that very well this year.
Oh, I don't think we have at all. And I think it's not that we haven't done it well. I think it's been a byproduct of the way governments have behaved with lockdown and certain things that they've done. You know, in the Second World War, the Japanese had concentration camps, as we know. And they used to divide them. What a lot of people don't know is they divided them into two areas. And they would screen the soldiers, and the ones that could talk about what they would do when they went home and could talk about their vision, they would put into maximum security. And the ones that saw no future, they let them roam. How's that? And
Wow.
the one of the most interesting things, and Tony, I think sometimes we forget the importance of things like being able to holiday. So people have stopped holidaying because they're not allowed to go anywhere. I know even here in Queensland, we are the holiday central for Australia. So a lot of
We
all
are.
the rest of Australia can't come, and there and our economy is way down because of it. But people, you know, when you're told you cannot holiday, you cannot go more than 5Ks from your home, even that can cause real pressure and tension for people because it's human rights,
Absolutely.
it's human freedom. And so, you know, when all of that is being weighted on us this year, I think on
Yes.
top of the fact, and that's why we've seen an increase in DV, we've seen an increase in suicide. And it's been interesting that the only thing we've seen a decrease in is premature birth, because the mums that were ready to go home and stay and relax, it suited them, and we've seen less premature births because those women had the stress taken off them immediately. And I'm sure in America, like here, at the coming to the end of this year, there is now talk of people remaining at home next year to work. So a lot of social cohesion, a lot of social support is gone. I was talking to people at a Halloween party on the weekend, and 50% of them are no longer ever going to go back to the office. They will work remotely from here on in, as long as they hold that job. And they were saying, you know, gone are those friendships, gone are those supports, gone are those being able to talk things through, gone are those. But sometimes, Tony, gone are the distractions, gone are the escape from having to live your life. And I think that's why people are imploding. So, and that's why we have to talk about it and the ways to do it in this new paradigm.
Yes. I agree. We need to, if that's what life is going to look like, then we need to work out another way where we can make sure that people are connected and feel valuable in society. So if that's what working life is going to look like, we need to catch up now and make sure that there is assistance and help for people in not having those normal social connections, not having those friends at work to talk to, not having the connections that keep and help you talk about whatever it is that's going on in your life. So I know that I've never thought that I would spend the majority of my working day on Zoom. And I was laughing this morning with a call, and he said, "Oh gosh, I wasn't sure if we were going to have a old-fashioned phone call or a Zoom." And I said, "Well, we're going to have a call." And we were both laughing about it, thinking, isn't it a breath of fresh air to just have a phone call versus a Zoom? But Zoom, Skype, or any of the other technology around that keeps you connected to other human beings is incredibly important. Humans need to be connected to each other. We need to hear about other people's human experience. That's an important part of humanity. So even though we're working from home, we still need that social interaction. That's an important part of who we are as human beings. And I think that we need to keep embracing the technology that assists us to do this. Just like Tracy and I talking to people in America via Zoom, it's an important thing to do and important subjects to discuss and talk about, so that we can give you information that empowers and educates you and helps you keep going under difficult circumstances. I was talking to someone earlier in the week because, as you know, Tracy, I had tours booked to the Philippines this year. And they've been, obviously, were cancelled. And we were starting to have the first conversations about what 2021 would look like. And the end result of that was that we probably won't even have another conversation until the end of 21, because it's not looking like anyone will be able to travel very far. And who would have thought 12 months ago that we were even having such a conversation? That's new to people. That can create a traumatic response from people. you feel locked down, unable to travel, unable to flow through on the plans that you had in life or in business. That can be trauma in itself. And it's important for us to highlight this, that everyday trauma can still have an impact on you, and you should take the time to just think about how that's making you feel and talk to someone about it.
Absolutely. You know, there used to be a saying, the world is such a small place. And, you know, as you know, up until March this year, I was traveling for 3 years straight and did 19 countries. And it was incredible how small the world was. But I think now the world is just disassociated. We've actually just in 7 months disassociated from each other. So what that's done is it's caused everybody to focus on their country, which I think is where we're finding all the trauma, such as around all these political things, because all of a sudden there's no going to Australia for a month to see the great grandkids or the grandkids and actually get away from it. You know, they're locked in. But I also think, Tony, it presents some great opportunities for us to get back to basics. And I know in America, I'm sure it's the same as here. You know, we hear so much about social distancing. Whatever you do, please social distance. So it's hard to even strike up a conversation with someone in a line now. It's even hard to say hello to someone because everybody's trying to social distance. But I think the world has a fresh opportunity to connect locally. You know, I'm all for global. My whole brand is about global. But I think, you know, now's the time to reconnect with neighbours. Now's the time to reconnect with, you know, going to your local parks and, you know, reinventing yourself locally and seeing all the stuff that you don't normally do locally. I think now's the time to show more politeness to people. I strike up conversations with the elderly all the time, especially when I'm shopping and stuff, because I'm so aware. In our community, they have so little of it, and they're always so grateful. They're always so happy to talk, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for us to actually connect and still love each other even without, you know, that depth of physical touch, which is hard for us Polynesians. To be honest, us Polynesians, we're all still touching. I'll tell you the truth.
Which is that's good to hear, Trace. I'm very glad. And I know, I'll just tell the listeners that when I see Tracy in person, we do hug, because I can't do being in Tracy's presence and not hug her. So, and I don't know if it's got anything to do with her Polynesian heritage. I just think that's supportive thing that we do for each other. And I know that people would say, you know, that's not social distancing, but we're relatively lucky in Australia. We have virtually no virus that is causing issues at the moment. So until that raises its ugly head again, I will be hugging my friends and family and getting that boost of serotonin, because as you probably know, when you hug someone, it boosts your serotonin, which is good for so many things. And in a world where we tend to see the not so niceness of humanity, hugging's important, isn't it, Trace?
Oh, it absolutely is. And you know, if you're from a safe spot and you and your friend, as you and I are, both lead healthy lives where we're safe, the benefits of us having a hug far outweigh the chance that I might give you a cold or you might give it to me. And we've been living like that forever until now, when they're saying, hang on, Tracy, if you touch Tony, that could be disastrous. Well, no more disastrous than it could have been. Because like COVID, like every other disease, it incubates without us knowing. That's the problem.
That's right.
You know, but if you haven't been around anybody, if you haven't been to a COVID hotspot, the chances are that the serotonin could do you good. And I think being outdoor park, playing with, you know, playing with friends, or, you know, just chatting, you know, you can social distance. We met some friends in the park and had a lovely picnic. They sat on one side of the table, we sat on the other. There wasn't a lot of contact, but it was just lovely. And everybody leaves feeling human, feeling relaxed, feeling happy, you know. And I think that's important. important. It's a really important thing for people to do, because the minute you feel isolated, trauma buries down fast. It brings the hatchet down really quick, and you'll end up with depression and all that other stuff just fronting really quickly.
And if you're that space where you're healing from trauma, you've got to be really gentle with yourself and do the things that help you keep healing. So if that means, I remember reading a piece in researching for this show, and it was talking about people recovering from trauma and understanding that what they do and who they hang out with will have impacts on their ability to heal. So one of the discussions was around the television and having to see crime on television and what that might do in terms of re-triggering making your blood pressure rise. So when you're healing from trauma, your body is in a physiological state where it's generally in that fight or flight mode. And until you heal sufficiently you turn that part of your brain off or learn to manage it better, there are things in everyday life that can contribute to making it worse. So if you think about it, if you watch something horrible on TV, it has a physiological effect on you. If you're recovering from trauma, your body is already in that space, and you're further contributing to the non-healing. So you need to protect yourself, is what I'm trying to say. You need to protect yourself by what you see, what you listen to, what you read, and who you hang out with. And it's incredibly important to do that and then start reintroducing that stuff if you want to. Some people discover that stopping watching television has been a key to their ongoing health and happiness. Some people will tell you that they never watch the news because that's part of how they deal with staying whole and happy. It's the same with trauma. Once you've been through trauma, you need to work out those things that work for you to keep you happy, healthy, and whole. They'll be different for different people, won't they, Trace?
Yeah, they will. And I think we need to remember that all media is subconscious and subliminal. So they're telling you something subconsciously and subliminally. And the problem with that is that I don't watch anything around anything to do with children being harmed. I wouldn't watch it if you paid me, because subconsciously it connects with me because I understand the story. I'm still not living the story anymore because I've healed, but I understand it. So it instantly connects to my intellect and says, and gives me an emotion that's way deeper than my girlfriend who's never been hurt in her life, just watching it analytically. It's no longer analytically for me. It connects to my logic and drops into my heart really quick. So I think it's really important for you to understand that when you're watching feeding yourself something like that, you need to be careful that you don't feed the wrong stuff. But at the same time, it is proven that the happier people are, the less likely they are to have a heart attack. Because every time we laugh, and you know, Tony, you and I know what that is. When we get together, we're just laughing from the minute we join the company. But that actually works really well for your heart maintenance, for your health. So I think, you know, there is this part. Like I know for me, sometimes I will escape in a really good comedy, a light-hearted comedy, where just people just do crazy stuff. And sure, there's always a message in it now, and there's always, you know, something that somebody's trying to say, but it's just fun. It's just something that's really relaxed, really simple to understand, and it just makes you laugh and laugh and laugh. And I think, you know, there is that importance too. But just remember, if you're watching something you've lived through, it's going to drop from your head to your heart real quick and affect you. Has to.
Absolutely.
Understand it. It's no longer a story, it's truth.
Yeah. And you do have to protect yourself. You have to take very good care of this body and this mind because you've only got one life. And if you invest in the hard work of healing from trauma, then you equally want to invest in that healing by protecting yourself, your mind, body, and spirit. And part of healing is discovering those things that light you up, those things that enable you to live that amazing life. And they are connected, mind, body, spirit. They're connected on a level that you need to recognize that all of them need to elements that light you up to keep you going. And I know in recovering from the various traumas throughout my life, part of the key to that was discovering those little things that light me up and make me happy. And they're not big things. They're usually really small, everyday things that make me happy. And doing those things on a regular basis is helpful. For some people, particularly us that live on the Gold Coast, walking along the beach in the sand with the salt water lapping on your feet is one of those simple pleasures. It's free, doesn't take a lot of time. Ready access to the beach. For other people, it might be going for a ride on a horse, going for a walk, going for a jog, talking to that best friend at least once a week. Those are the things that are important and will help you far more than complicated things. It's finding those little things that keep you on track and living your best life. Tracy, some of the things that I looked at when I was researching the word micro trauma, they talk about life being filled with disappointment and hurt, and that no human alive is going to have a human experience without some level of trauma at some time. And again, talking about the different types of trauma, and that can be anything from divorce to bad relationships to debt. Debt is one of the key drivers of unhappiness in our lives. And debt and being in an enormous amount of debt can be a micro trauma or a major trauma in your life, depending on what that looks like for you. Some of the other things are a crime, which I mentioned before, and the way in which we are exposed to crime. The longer we go on in human history, the greater degree we are subjected to different crimes, whereas people 100 years ago were not subject to daily murders. It just wasn't part of the lifestyle. But as we get further along in humanity, we're exposed to these things that we were not meant to cope with on a daily basis. And that's what I'm trying to talk about, those everyday things that might impact on us without us knowing, to be conscious of those things and to work towards making sure that you've got them managed within your own life. Tracy, I know that you are an advocate for women in domestic violence situations, and we can't be in the show today and not talk about the trauma around domestic violence. And it has been highlighted as one of the traumas, key traumas that has increased and is happening all the time in 2020. Now, we knew it was bad in 2019 and subsequently before that, but it's been particularly highlighted in this year because we've been in lockdown. I just wanted you to share with our listeners some of your thoughts around women trying to live in these situations and what they can do right now to help them deal with what their life looks like at the moment.
You know, Tony, I always say to my clients, micro trauma happens to you, and you can always tell when it's happening because you excuse it. So especially around DV, around debt, you know, you start to have these patterns. So around DV, when you feel unsafe, it's always before he's hit you. It's always before he starts to harm you, but you know. And one of the classes I always do is you do know. You do know. The problem is that we're so conditioned to ride it out. We're so conditioned that love is all encompassing and love can change him. Nobody can change anybody else. And if your partner is not open to that, you know, I've been married 33 years, so we've had a couple of arguments in that 33 years. And people laugh when I say that, but we've really haven't had a lot because my husband's extremely placid. But the few times that we've argued over something one of the kids did or finances or something when we were younger, when it got to that point where it was like we just looked at each other and thought, we don't even want to keep talking. I'm not even sure I still like you. We always had that moment where we would come back softly and deal with it. And I think that when you're in a relationship where that moment just gets left, you know that's a micro trauma right there. Something's beginning to change. You know, either Paul would come back to me and say, oh, God, I'm sorry about my attitude. We should talk about this, right? Or I'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can we just chat? You know? And I think that, you know, even with debt, you know, when you get that first bill and you can't sleep because you don't know how you're going to pay that credit card, that's a micro trauma. And micro traumas are good warnings for us if we can take them on. And so I think, you know, for people, if you're in a situation where it's harmful for you, where it's not safe or it's not healthy, you're having the micro traumas as warnings. So just heed them. Talk to somebody, get hold of our book, find out in your local community the resources that you have, because there's always another way. There is. Never believe that there isn't.
Or that you're alone.
No, that's right. No, for sure, because you're not alone. It's just people isolate themselves out of fear and embarrassment. And if you can bury that and tell a friend, as you know, Tony, earlier this year, our family went through a huge deal. And one of the first things I did was call you and another girlfriend, and we all just met, and I fell apart in front of you because that's the way you do it. That's the way you protect yourself. That's the way it doesn't become a massive thing. It's the way you heal.
Absolutely. We say it and we say it again and again that trauma or secrets cease to have power over your life when you talk about them or shed light on them, which is why we passionately talk about difficult subjects, because we believe, like many others, that once you shed light on difficult topics, they cease to have power over people's lives. If you're a woman listening to this program and you're in a very terrible situation that you're not telling anyone about because you're ashamed or fearful for your life, please reach out and talk to someone, because that whole idea that you need to suffer alone is null and void. People will listen, people will help, people will understand. And don't suffer alone. Don't hide behind whatever it is that is causing you pain and angst. Talk to someone. Let them know that you're struggling. Because as soon as you do that, you open yourself up to receive the help and love that you need to get through that particular situation. And there's lots of women like Tracy and I that are willing and able to help you get through that situation.
Yeah, for sure. And remember that a lot of DV comes, there's a whole pattern. So some of the women listening today might feel they're isolated. You know, they've moved away from their family to be with his family and stuff like that. But I always say, remember the top three. Number one, you can tell anything to your GP and they are empowered to help you and nobody will ever know. Your GP is a safe vault. You can always start there. They can refer you on to some counselling, where counsellors, I know in this country and I know for a fact in America, they have abilities, they have information that they can give you, right? Thirdly, if you have the money, you can employ somebody privately under the guise, like you and I. I have a couple of women who have employed me as mentors and they've wanted to just talk about how to get out of a current situation. So I have worked with them just for 3 hours, and I've pointed them to all the good places to go and all the places to do, because there's far more help now than there ever has been. But especially if they're isolated and they don't have a girlfriend like you and I, they don't have somebody who can they can pick the phone up with, there's always the top three to go to. They can always go to their GP, a local community centre that does counselling or support services. None of these people are going to say what's going on to anybody else. It's all confidential. Or reach out to someone like us, pay for 2 or 3 hours for a session, pay for a mentor that specializes in this sort of stuff, have a session with them for a couple of hours and find out what's available for you.
Absolutely. And I guess that we really need to make sure that people understand that they are not alone. Please don't suffer in silence. Don't try and work through your trauma by yourself because it doesn't work. I know I tried for 20 years to figure it out myself. I pushed away help. I refused to accept help. And all it did was further damage and traumatize me. And so I'm just passionately aware that in reaching out to someone and accepting help, that you are doing the best thing that you can to get yourself through that situation. There are people that will help you. There are people that will love you unconditionally, that will just listen while you unload those burdens and talk about that trauma. There are many, many loving, amazing, wonderful coaches out there to help you get through this situation. The saddest thing of all is when a woman is affected by domestic violence and her life is ended because there wasn't help for her. We don't want to see that anymore. We want to see the end of women's lives being cut short by domestic violence. And so again, just reach out and talk to someone who can help you. And if that's Tracy or myself, just do that. There are people that will help you get through that. And if particularly you look at your life and think, oh, there's just got to be more to life than this, absolutely. There is always more to life. You just have to reach out and take it. It's theirs. It's there for you. And don't think that you're not worthy of a wonderful life, because every single person listening to this show is worthy of a life of their dreams. And you can have it. Yeah? You
Yeah, for sure.
just need
Absolutely.
to ask for help. So, Tracy, before we completely run out of time, I want you to talk about number one, your book, and some of the exciting things that you've got coming up in the next couple of months in terms of your amazing business.
Okay, so as you all know, I wrote a book several years ago now called The Unhappy Smile. And the reason I wrote the book was because when I was younger, I knew I had to find a way to heal. And I knew, there it is, with all its little bookmarks. And I really knew that I had
That's
to
because
find
it's my copy.
secrets. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of people say that to me. So I wrote a very simple book. It's a very small book. I didn't over elaborate. I didn't make it into a compendium or a 5-part series. I literally wrote how I healed in a book that people can pick up and put down. It's 9 chapters. It's all gold. It's all truth. It's all stuff they can work through. There's questions at the end of every chapter for them to work through. And the beautiful thing about this book is it tells it straight like it is. It tells it
It
exactly
does.
like it is. Because when you want to heal, you want straight answers. For me, when I wanted to get over something and I had to forgive 12 men who had taken my innocence before I was 12. Big deal. That's actually a freaking big deal. Not many people
Is.
can do that. So I didn't want to understand the ins and outs of forgiveness. I didn't want to understand how to get to this euphoric place. I wanted to know how the hell I did it. And in my book, I tell you how I did it. And I tell you in very simple forms exactly what forgiveness is. It's a choice. It's a gift I gave myself. I stopped being someone else's story and I started being my own. I took the pen back and I rewrote my own ending. And so with that, as I said to you, I took it to India, where I got an award for it, and it sort of yes. opened up the rest of the world for me, which has been lovely. And from that, I guess on the 5th of December, I'm going to be launching a brand new series and a brand new business with my husband, because we're going to do a men's and women's version, which is really lovely, based on, I guess, my legacy, which is going to be, it's going to be an online course for 8 weeks. They'll have lifetime membership for a one-off price. And we're going to talk about the actual keys to truly forever getting over stuff, and you know, yep. and learning how to turn, you know, what I call the cave experience. Because when, you know, Tony, when I was healing, there were moments I had to be alone in that. I had to strip yes. off all my bravado, all my protection mechanisms, and I align it to going into a cave. You know, you got to take off all your armor and you got to go and sit in the dark of the cave on your own. Because sometimes alone at 2 a.m. when I could not stop crying from the memories yes. that were coming up, because I knew I had to sit with them to get over them. You know, there's actually a really beautiful vulnerability of strength that comes from that. And when you can actually understand what that gives you, you'll go through it every time. And as you yeah. know, personally, being my friend this year, I've gone through that in a very personal level with a couple of my daughters. And again, as a 50-odd-year-old woman who thought she had her kids were doing great, all of a sudden, you know, one of them has a mental health yeah. issue, one of them has cancer, and I had to go in the cave. Off came all the bravado. Off came, there was nothing, my businesses, nothing, my bank account, nothing, my brilliant marriage. There was nothing that could have helped me. I had to get in the cave because I had to process it. But when you understand that process and what it gives to you, the gift that it gives to you, because I know yep. for me, once I've sorted through something, I never do anything just for me. So the minute I have revelation, I'm teaching it to everybody else who'll listen.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's going to be a really nice new course, and I'm going to talk to you about it because I'm thinking of giving it to our listeners at half price for Christmas. So I'll talk to you about it.
Yay! Excellent. I get excited when people tell me about all the amazing things that they're doing. And I know that Tracy's been working on this for a little while, and it's terribly exciting that she's been able to talk to you, the listeners, about what's coming up for her. Because I really believe that out of 2020 will be some really amazing things that happen in terms of technology, help for people that are suffering, increasing in abundance, and people being able to grow so that they can help other people. I absolutely believe that in the next decade, it would be amazing to see a more unified world where there was less hunger, less crime, less DV, because we've all been thinking and raising our consciousness and thinking about life differently. And I know that Tracy is passionate about ensuring that people live their best life. And can I tell you, the more successful Tracy and I become, the more we can share with everyone else our learnings, our knowledge, and our generosity. And that's a wonderful thing. And then the people that we help start and help a whole range of other people, and it's a ripple effect. And that's the ripple effect that we want to happen across the world. And it starts with us in Australia and goes out across the world, helping everyone to reach that wonderful, happy life that every human deserves. Every human is worthy of happiness and love. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not worthy, because you are. Every single human born on this planet is worthy of a wonderful life. Whatever that looks like for them, They are worthy. And part of what Tracy and I do is to make sure that you have the skills, knowledge, and understanding to live that wonderful life that you're worthy of. And part of that will be what Tracy delivers in her new programs in December. And we will still be on the air then. So I'm looking forward to having a whole show about her new programs and the new stuff that is coming on board for her business. Because I know what Tracy's bigger vision and the legacy that she wants to leave for her family and her kids. And that's why both of us do what we do. That's why we allow ourselves to be open and vulnerable. And believe me, that doesn't come without its criticism and its cost. You might see us live on the program and think, oh, wow, how wonderful are those girls? But believe me, in the background of the image that you see is some pretty tough stuff and some hard work. And I know that becoming friends with Tracy has helped me deal with a lot of that stuff and be prepared for what might come. So for anyone who's in the public eye, there was always criticism. There are little attacks and little jibes. And if you aren't healed, you're not going to make it. Because you have to be in a place where you can see it for what it is, someone else's shit, shall I say. It has nothing to do with you. And if you just breathe, I'm a great believer in breath work. So when those little attacks come, I take myself off to my cave, very much like Tracy does, and I just go, okay, that is not about me. I'll examine what's been said and I'll go, right, did I do that or did I do that? And I will take the learnings from that conversation and I will make sure that I'm very clear about what that is and I'll discard the rest. Yeah? Because I want to continually improve myself. That's my gift to my children, is to continually strive to be a better person each and every day. That's part of the legacy that I wanted to leave for my children and my grandchildren, to set the pace for what a wonderful life looks like and to give that knowledge and education to as many other people as we can. So Tracy, I know that is part of what drives you forward, is that big vision and legacy. And in doing these shows around trauma and coming from our both traumatic backgrounds, we know this stuff, we know what works, because not only do we talk the talk, we have walked and we are walking the walk. Yeah? So don't absolutely. Ever think we are anything other than very healed, enlightened human beings spreading our knowledge to everyone that we can help. Yeah,
look, the Superman syndrome is dead. The world is no longer looking for superheroes that can fix it for us. The truth of it is, it takes one person. And one of my favorite sayings, and the catch line for this whole new thing I'm doing in December is, if one person can change, the world can change. Every person.
Absolutely.
And that's why I did it. And when I look at it, I think what I did changed my marriage, raised four girls that are entirely different to the ones I would have raised had I been in trauma, who have now raising nine grandchildren who are completely different to how they would have been had their mothers been in trauma from their grandmother's trauma. And so here we are, three generations on, and we are changing the world because one girl went into the cave,
decided,
and sorted her stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. Now, Tony, I was just thinking about my book quickly. I don't have a lot. Yes. I think I've only got 300 or 400 copies because we've gone to print again. But if anybody buys it in the next week, I'm going to send them two copies so they can give one away for Christmas, because I love to love. Yes. But they'll just need to do it quickly because, like I said, I think there's only 300 or 400 at the warehouse. So, but if they do it, they're going to get two so they can give it away. Yeah.
It's a great book. It's beautiful. in it. It's beautifully written. It's beautiful in its simplicity, and it's wonderful in the way that it guides you through the process and allows you to do your own reflection and your own work. It's a powerful little book, and I encourage you to jump onto tracyhorton.com and grab a copy before she runs out and has to reprint.
That's right.
Yeah. Wonderful listeners, it's been an absolute privilege to join you today live on Radio Tony. I'm very privileged to have Tracy with me in the co-hosting seat each and every week in the lead up to Christmas. I want you all to just remember that life is what you make it, that you have a choice and you are worthy of a wonderful, big, beautiful life. And on that note, we will be back next week with more in our series on tackling trauma with Tracy and Tony. Thank you very much, Tracy, and bye for now, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Thank you.